Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During August, we're studying the book of Proverbs, both in our Bible study and in our sermon series during worship. Proverbs, remember, are small statements with huge amounts of wisdom in them. And God has given us over 800 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs so that he might increase our wisdom. The easiest way for me to study and also to teach the book of Proverbs is by topic, because if you go by verse, chapter by chapter, in one chapter, Proverbs will cover many, many different topics. But certain topics and teachings are repeated over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs. And one of them that's repeated often is the power of words. Words are powerful. God tells us words have the power of life and death. You can't get more powerful than that. Therefore, we should choose our words carefully, very carefully, very, very carefully. We want to talk about the power of words today, words to avoid and words we should use. But before we talk about that, let's definitely talk about option one. A lot of us ignore option one, but we shouldn't. Option one is a valuable option, but a hard option for us to remember. Option one is this. Silence is an option. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 10:19. And of course, this humorous bit of wisdom, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. The wisdom of Proverbs is not only brilliant, it is not only godly, it is also incredibly practical. We've all had times when we've said too much. We need to quit when we're ahead. As your mom told you, wisely, if you can't say anything, don't say anything at all. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Mom was right. It's better to think carefully about your words than say the wrong thing. Which brings us to our first topic, words to avoid. These are the types of words Proverbs warns us against saying, right? So, three kinds of words to avoid: reckless words, lying words, and gossip. Starting with number one, reckless words. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. What a powerful verse. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Remember, in those days, swords were the deadliest weapons people knew about. They were the most dangerous weapon on earth, killing more people than any other weapon. Using words recklessly is foolish and harmful and just plain dangerous, according to the Bible. Now, the word for reckless can be translated as rash or thoughtless. This is the case where someone is intentionally trying to hurt someone. We've all been guilty of that, too. These are just thoughtless words, words that we say without being careful. Proverbs says that is incredibly dangerous to do. On the playground, remember, people said things like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sometimes we yelled that when people hurt our feelings, but we were lying. The injuries from sticks and stones will heal over time, but hurtful words can stay with us for a lifetime. Some of us can still remember hurtful words said by others when we were children. Speaking of lying, that's the second type of words Proverbs tells us to avoid, lying words. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. The Lord detests lying lips. He really despises lies. The word for detest is the strongest, one of the strongest words for hate in the Old Testament. It can be translated abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It is loathsome and detestable. God could not use any stronger language. And that's not hard to understand why, because it was through lies that the devil first got the best of us. Jesus says in John 8 that when the devil lies, he is speaking his native language, which is a powerful statement. It just comes naturally to the devil. I love how Jesus puts that. When the devil lies, he's speaking his native language. It just comes naturally to him. But the devil isn't the only one. It also comes naturally to us. Lying comes naturally to us. You know, nobody taught us to lie. Your parents didn't sit you down one day and say, Junior, remember, here, let me teach you how to lie. Make sure you lie as often as possible. I'm pretty sure your parents never said that. We've never taken a graph class in grade school, high school, or college called Lying 101. We don't need to. Lying comes naturally to us. It is so easy for us to do. It's telling the truth that's hard, right? Being honest, sticking to facts, not exaggerating, not telling white lies, not embellishing, just telling plain old truth. It's hard for us. The Lord delights in us when we do that. He delights in the truth because Jesus Christ is the truth, right? Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He is wisdom personified. He is truth in its purest form. And when we lie, we're using the language of the devil. When we tell the truth, we're using the language of Jesus. Number three, gossip. Perverse person stirs up conflict and gossip. A gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 16:28. The last type of speech that we'll talk about today is gossip. Gossip, like almost all sins, has been monetized by the world. What the Bible calls sin, the world turns into a business. The world has made a whole industry out of gossip. Back in the old days, when people read magazines, it was called the tabloid industry. Now it's just called clickbait. Gossip are stories. Gossip is stories told about people that may or not be true that are designed to hurt someone's reputation. Gossip is not an innocent pastime. It's not a way to bond with other people, and it is certainly not meant for our entertainment. Gossip is sin. Proverbs builds on that and tells us that gossip is foolish, it is sinful, it is selfish, it is evil, and oh yeah, it will destroy your relationships. A gossip separates close friends. We've all seen that happen. How many friendships have to be destroyed before we see gossip for the evil that it is? How many people's lives have to be ruined before we see the evil of slander? How many people have to fall into the dangerous pit of despair before we start to see how horrible it is to damage and destroy other people's reputations? Gossip is not a pastime. It's not entertainment. It is sin. It breaks the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Luther, in his explanation, tells us about the destructiveness of gossip, but he also gives us a positive alternative to put into its place. The eighth commandment, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. So instead of attacking people's reputations, we should defend people's reputations. Instead of tearing down people's reputations, we should put the best construction on everything. Instead of putting everything in the worst way, we should put everything in the kindest way. Which brings us to the words we should use. And the first kind of word we should use, kind words. Number one, kind words. Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hands. Just think about this question. How many of you know someone you care about who is dealing with an anxious situation? I didn't ask you to raise your hands because I'm pretty sure all of us know someone going through an anxious situation. For most of us, we are that person going through the anxious situation. When we see someone else going through that tough situation, when they're stressed out and filled with anxiety, a lot of times we just feel helpless. I mean, what can I do? I mean, how could I possibly help? Well, here's your answer from the Bible. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Words can hurt, but words can also bring help, healing, and encouragement. Words are so powerful. You can literally make a difference in someone's life just by choosing the right words, kind words. When someone's going through a stressful situation, don't say, I told you so, I warned you this would happen. Say kind words like, I'm here for you. God is here for you. God will help you through this. What can I pray for you? How can I help? Words of kindness can make all the difference, choosing kind words instead of words that hurt. Second of all, when it comes to words to use, we should use gentle words. Proverbs 15:1, gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gentle words are powerful. They can change a person's attitude just like that. Have you ever been in an argument? Again, don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. We all have. You know what happens. You know how it escalates. People get angrier and angrier. It gets more and more out of control like a wildfire. The words get more and more hurtful, and pretty soon the relationship is teetering on the brink. What can you do? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, right? When someone insults you or calls you names or wants to have an argument, you can choose not to participate. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can, well, remember option one, right? Silence is an option. Or you can answer the way the Holy Spirit wants you to, with gentle and kind words. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Hey, you know, Bob, just a fictional person. You know, Bob, you just called me a double dummy head. I just want to say thanks for sharing that with me. I probably can act foolish sometimes. You've given me a lot to think about. I'm pretty sure that will change Bob's attitude pretty quickly. If not, well, not much you can do about it. But the Bible calls us to meet hatred with kindness, and it calls us to meet anger with gentleness. To be used gentle words as the mark of a Christian. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us, in your heart set apart Jesus Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. 1 Peter 3:15. Finally, number three, healing words. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We come full circle. I didn't share the second part of this verse because it gives such a delightful contrast to the first part. Reckless words pierce like a sword. We talked about that. Words have the power to hurt. Words have the power to heal as well. And the tongue of the wise brings healing. Because of sin, we are all in need of healing. And that's what words can do. Words like, I love you. You matter to me. You are important. And maybe the most powerful words of all, I forgive you. Proverbs 16 tells us this important truth. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. That's such a powerful verse. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Let me ask you, whose love and faithfulness is it talking about? Not ours. Through the love and faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our sins have been atoned for. By his wounds, we are healed. The blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. It is by his love and his faithfulness that he went to the cross to atone for our sins, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. What a powerful gospel message right there in the middle of Proverbs. Proverbs 16, the middle of the book. It's like having John 3:16 in the middle of the book of Proverbs. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, and that's why we come here each week, to hear the words, those words of healing from Jesus himself. We come here with our sins and our burdens, and we hear Jesus announce to us, your sins are forgiven. We hear it every week in confession and absolution. When we're privileged to witness a baptism, we remember our own baptism. Remember that our sins have been washed away through the washing of regeneration and rebirth in the waters of baptism. And we remember that we have been made forgiven children of God. And when we read the scriptures together and hear about Christ's love for us, we hear about Christ's love for us and the atoning sacrifice he made for us on the cross. And then when we come together to have Holy Communion together, Jesus reminds us, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Jesus says over and over again, his words of healing, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise, the tongue of Jesus, always brings healing. Amen. Now may the peace of God which passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.